Hello and welcome again to the Issues of Life. I am your host, Pastor Kelvin Muhammad, and I am so glad that you are with us today. I bring greetings from our King, and I bring the greetings of our King to you. And I declare today that He will indeed establish His kingdom in your heart. At this special time of the year, some of you may be busy shopping around, getting what you need to get. But I want to indeed declare that there is a King who has come into the earth, not just a baby, but indeed a King. And He wants to establish His kingdom and His kingdom purposes in your heart. I invite you to be with us at Apostolic City Church. We have two meetings on Sunday morning. Our first meeting is at 8 a.m. and our second is at 10:30. We are located in Coover, upstairs Royal Castle, Southern Main Road, Coover. And you can call us, of course, at 636-1307. I'm reading today from the book of Luke chapter 2, and verse 1 tells us, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee unto the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, who was great with child." I want to deal with the whole concept of being taxed and taxation and what it meant to Mary and Joseph. Because the NIV tells us that there went out a decree, a census that should be taken of the entire Roman world. The word decree is indeed the Greek word, dogma, from which we get our English word dogma, and it implies a civil, ceremonial, or ecclesiastical law. We're speaking of an ordinance. We are speaking of a decree. We are speaking even of rules and requirements of the law, the Mosaic law, and the severity and the judgments that are implied in it. We're even speaking of the apostles' decree. You see, the word decree has come to mean man-made rules, especially in the religious sense. We are talking about dogmatic religious rules that have gone unchallenged for even hundreds of years. For as you well know, there are things that we have believed for so long that really do not have their root in Scripture or the Bible. They are just traditions. There are people, for example, who do believe that there is a man dressed in red who comes from the North Pole at this time of the year, and they believe it. They firmly believe it, even though there is no biblical ground for it. So that there are a number of things that we have traditionally believed, and we do at this time, and we practice at this time, and which there is no ground for, even in our church practices, our meeting at sunrise, and all kinds of religious practices that we do, the way we dress, what we eat, where we congregate, what we sing, what we preach. A lot of it is grounded in tradition. It is a taxing. It is a taxation. They are the underlying reason why the world then and even now is still being taxed. The Bible does tell us that this enforcing of the law does indeed stir up sin. It speaks in Romans 7, verse 8. It tells us, but sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produces in me every kind of covetous desire. And then the Bible says, for apart from the law, sin is indeed dead. It seems to suggest that whenever we try to enforce the traditions of men, whenever we try to enforce the rules of men, it puts pressure on people. It even stirs up the desire for sin, that this taxing or this taxation brings a burden on people. And indeed, we are not meant to serve God out of some rule. There are people who will be in church on Christmas morning who have never been in church all year long because they believe there is some special rule of God, some religious requirement that they be there. And the thing about it, those people will not have the grace to live for God after Christmas. It is just a religious thing. And we need to be delivered from tradition, from man-made rules. It witnesses to the burden of what I call wrong government, civil or ecclesiastical. You see, contemporary Pharisees still tax the people with grievous burdens. At the birthing of every purpose of God, there was always a taxation of mind, of body, soul, and spirit. So it was at the birthing of Jesus, the Messiah. And when the Messiah was born, there was a taxing in the earth. There was a this taxation placed a burden on Mary and Joseph to leave where they were on a donkey to travel to Bethlehem. I want to declare to you that God is birthing what I call a corporate Messiah. He's birthing the Messiah in us. And as the Messiah is being born in us, as there is a birthing of the purpose of God, so there is a taxing that is happening in the earth today. You see, when you study Zacharias and Mary, you see some of what I'm talking about. Zacharias represented an old Mosaic legal system that was so bound that he could not believe God. He could not even believe the angel when the promise of God came to him. Mary found favor. She found grace. She was willing to receive the rhema of God and step out of the law to give birth to Jesus. Because you understand, Mary had to break the law to give birth to the purpose of God. Traditions of men have always taxed us. Like I said, traditions have no redemptive power. Neither does keeping the Christmas tradition. And I don't mean to offend, but and I know you use this time of the year to gather with your family, to give gifts, etc., and you have a good time. And I'm not trying to stop you from doing that. But I want to suggest to you, do not confuse the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with the tradition of this time. Because, you see, traditions cannot redeem. The Bible tells us that we are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold received by tradition from the from our fathers. They do not have the power to redeem. They may be an occasion to rejoice, but they cannot redeem. And I do not think we need to be misled to think that there is some redemptive grace to be received by celebrating this tradition. Because, you see, people still, at this time of the year, what I've noticed is that there's a taxation, and the taxation takes the form in which people worry themselves sick at this holiday time. They worry they do not have enough. They worry they would not be able to give the right gift. They worry they may not have the right kind of clothes. They spend more money than they can afford at this time of the year to buy gifts for people who really do not need them. That's what I mean by taxation. People work themselves to the bone, and I really sympathize with some of these people who are working in some of these stores, and they work very early in the morning until late in the night. And if these proprietors could help it, they would probably bring these people out on Christmas Day as well. And if some of us could help it, we'd shop on Christmas Day as well. We rush around to do things around the house that we've not done for the last 11 months. And in the process of all of this, our prayer life suffers, our relationship with God suffers. And I would dare say there are some people who even commit suicide at this time of the year, because there is an unholy expectation that is created at this time of the year. You know, we sing the song, "I'll be home for Christmas." And when Mr. Wright doesn't come home for Christmas, we feel wrong. And we feel wronged, as it were, and we get into this melancholy kind of thing, and we get into this depression. Please do not get into these unholy expectations. We put pressures on ourselves and upon our minds that we do not need to put. We bring ourselves into a jail. You see, Jesus has abolished the law. You see, my problem with Christmas is that we are still looking back at the image of the stable or the image of the manger. And there are people who bow down at that image. And as long as your promise is still in a manger, it will not materialize or affect this world. I want to repeat that. As long as your promise is still in a manger, it will not materialize. The spirit of Christmas really has become the spirit of mammon and the spirit of reveling, and more alcohol is consumed at this time of the year than any other time of the year. You see, in Christianity, we've become accustomed to two major images. One is that of the babe in Bethlehem, and the other image is that of a man dying on a cross. And these images have misled us. You see, these are the images. Now, while it is the Jesus dying on a cross has redeemed us, we need to go beyond the cross and see the resurrection. The Bible tells us that we are to guard the seed of God in us from what we call from vain philosophy, from vain deceit. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, the danger here is being spoilt. That's the danger. You're not losing your salvation, but this thing can spoil you because your mind gets locked into certain paradigms. And the thing about it, the world has no problem with the baby in the manger because the baby in the manger is economically viable. The baby in the manger brings money. The baby in the manger can be sold at this time of the year, and merchants get fat, and people spend money that they cannot afford and work up the credit card bills. And in January, we're in big trouble. And the thing about it, many times you can find yourself blaming Christ and involving Christ in all of this mess. You see, tradition is a thief. It is a deceptive scheme to remind you and I of our infancy or immaturity year after year. Year after year, the church returns to the babe. Year after year, the church returns to a baby in a manger, constantly seeing our immaturity. People look forward to this time of the year so they can pacify their guilty conscience and start all over again. It is time to make new resolutions. It is the spirit of the spoiler. The attempt is to deform the seed. Even Ebenezer the Scrooge gets a chance to be nice, but never saved. He's nice, but he doesn't receive the saving grace of God. You see, when God looks at the church, he does not see it in a stable. We've got to go beyond this, all I have is this small gift mentality. We've got to come out of the manger mentality, and we've got to come to the throne mentality. Come out of the manger, come into the throne. We are limited by our perceptions. We need to stop gazing back at the stable. God wants to bring us to the throne mentality. We must mature as sons. Let's grow up. The devil is satisfied with an immature seed. He could not prevent you from getting saved, but he will do everything to prevent you from maturing. It's time, as it were, to take up our cross. You see, we must come to the place of understanding the true Christ mass. You see, the word mass is a word that it means physical substance. It means weight. It means density. It means size. It speaks of density of substance. Mass, the word mass, as it were, the English word mass, it has to do with something that's real, something that's manifest in the natural realm. So when we are talking about Christ's mass, the true understanding of it, we are talking about Christ who came in mass, who was manifested, Christ who came in a literal body. Christ who was manifested in the natural realm. And if I were to ask you today, where is the mass of Christ? Where is the body of Christ? Where is the manifestation of Christ today? I will come to you, the body of Christ, and I would say to you that you are the Christ mass. You are the manifestation of Christ in the earth. You are the manifestation of his glory. You are the manifestation of his power. You see, my friends, I am not returning to an icon in the manger. I am saying to you that you are the real Christ mass. You are the one that Christ died for. You are the manifestation of his glory. You see, the real Christ mass goes beyond tinsel and jingle bell and a fat man from the North Pole called Santa Claus. The real Christ mass is you. You are the mass of Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit, the breath of the Spirit of God that brooded over the deep in Genesis, he who is the essence of God, and Jesus, the bodily substance or the manifestation or the mass of God, is what we really celebrate at this time of the year. Christ is the manifestation. He was indeed the Christ mass. He was the manifestation. He was the collision. He was the marriage of the spirit realm and the which is the dwelling place of God and this natural realm. He indeed is the mass. And now we have become that body. What you need to celebrate at this time is you, not some icon, not some image in the past. We have come above just a babe. No, we are coming into a mature man. Yes, Jesus came into the earth, and yes, he was born as a babe, but he did not remain that way. I declare, my friends, he became a man, and that man is all manifest in you, the mature man. Jesus, you see, walked in both realms. He walked in the spirit realm where God lives, and he walks in the natural realm where you are. I declare to you, my friends, that you are the mass of Christ. You are the manifestation of what God is. You are the manifestation. Indeed, when people see you, they see Christ. When they look at you, they see the embodiment of all that God is. You are the manifestation of his glory, of his power, of his anointing in the earth. When you think about Christmas, think not of mass in Christ's name, but think of Christ's mass. And you are the substance of who he is. You are the embodiment of who he is. You are the nature of who he is. You are the glory of who he is. You are the manifestation of who he is. You are the true Christ mass, the substance of God in the earth. I want to bless you today, and I encourage you to be with us Sunday morning. We have, again, two meetings. Our first meeting is at 8 a.m. and our second is at 10:30. Don't forget, on All Year's Night, we meet at 9:30, 9:30. And we will be there in the p.m. And you can call us at 636-1307. Remember, 2003 is the year for maturity. It is the year of being free. Come and join us. Call us at 636-1307. We are located in Coover, upstairs, Royal Castle, Southern Main Road, Coover. You can call us at 636-1307. God bless you. Have a great day. Remember, you are the manifestation of God in the earth.